Hey, welcome back to We Talk Fantasy Football. It is week, oh, I guess what, 12?
This is, we're coming up on week 12.
And so this is show 12, season 2, 2012. And say week 12, show 12.
12, 12, and more 12.
A lot of 12s in this. And I am Mo, your humble host. I'm joined again by Fantasy Award Winning Championship. Fantasy Award Winning Analyst. The one and only, Brett. Thank you. Brett, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
You're okay. And
I am better than the Chicago Bears offensive line, let me tell you.
No kidding. So what we're going to be doing in this one, this episode was subtitled Thinning the Herd. Basically, because what has happened here is we play an awful lot of leagues. And unfortunately, when you play that many leagues, they can't all be winners. And so instead of one of the things that I think annoys me the most, though, is when somebody's a loser and they stop playing. And they just stop setting their lineup and they stop whatever. You know, it bugs the hell out of me because you're still affecting other players and people trying to make the playoffs. And play to the end. And have a little pride. And we decided since we have some teams that aren't doing so good and they're not winning and they're not going anywhere, what we'll do is we're going to each, instead of co-managing them for the rest of the season, we're going to take them over individually and compete against each other to see who can post the best record with three teams each over the remaining parts of the season for bragging rights. And that's right. That's something to compete for. So that's what we're going to do. And so what we're going to do is we're going to, on the air, kind of divvy up the teams, go over the roster, and tell the other guy what our strategy is going to be for turning that team around. So let's see if we can actually do this. Some of these teams, it won't be easy. But we'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. And you got anything you want to add to that, Brent?
No, and I think another thing that will go along with the thinning the herd element is that as we're thinning our teams, we'll be thinning the individual players down as well to try to bring in some more useful players now that all the bye weeks are over.
Yeah, now that all the bye weeks are over, there's some guys that you've been holding on to for that reason that you really wouldn't hold on to, that you might find depth in other areas is where you need. So, all right, let's do this. What we're going to do,
we're going to do a fabulously exciting rock, paper, scissors in audio.
That's right. It's going to be an audio. This is not a video podcast?
Nope, I don't think so.
Ah. Well, we're going to do it this way anyways.
That's right. We could alternately try for a rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock.
We could.
But
we could.
I don't think that either of us would win.
No, or we could flip a coin. But, you know, still visual.
All are just as exciting.
We'll see if the referees get it wrong.
Would you prefer to flip a coin than...
No, rock, paper, scissors is a little bit more competitive instead of luck. So let's go.
All right.
Are you ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. No, what? You didn't? Oh, we have to actually do this?
Yeah. You know,
this shaking thing?
Yeah, typically I do one, two, three, go.
Well, now you see what I was going to do. I have to mix it up. All right, here. All right. Here we go. We're starting off just usual high-quality stuff there.
Yeah.
All right. And on the count of three, paper, scissors, rock. I gotcha. All right, so I'm going to pick from these teams. And the team I'm going to pick for myself is going to be a team called Born Silly.
You're picking Born Silly.
I'm going with Born Silly, a team not doing very well at all. So they're over in ESPN. Let's take a look at the team here. And I will read everybody else out. We're going to give people these terrible records we have.
Oh, please. Why not? Not everybody can be successful all the time.
No, this team is 3-7-1. So, you know, I mean, 11 weeks in, 3-7-1, they're out of it. No, especially only four teams make the... Is it only a 10-team league at this one? No, it's a 12-team league, 12 but only four league, are making the playoffs. So this team, go through the lineup here. They have Peyton Manning, Joe Flacco as their quarterbacks. The running backs are Steven Jackson, Felix Jones, Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles, Rashad Jennings. So a whole lot of nothing right there. The wide receivers are good on paper. The wide receivers are good from afar, far from good as a whole. Jordy Nelson, Steve Johnson, Titus Young, who's not even anything now. The tight ends are Dwayne Allen and Aaron Hernandez. The Patriots are the defense. They also have Joel Dreesen, another tight end. So three tight ends on the team. And we have Jason Hansen as the kicker. So as I look at this team, obviously, like I say, Peyton Manning is, he solves that problem. There's no question. I know where that is. But the problem really is, I'm looking at this, I still don't know. I mean, Hernandez is going to play, but I almost am more tempted to play Dwayne Allen over him just because of how many issues he's had and how long I think I'm going to be able to play him for. As I look to increase the team, it really comes down to the fact that we're playing. We have Nelson and Steve Johnson. We have Lloyd in the flex position, Brandon Lloyd. We can't do anything really with this team as I look at the running backs to improve them. The fact is that Steven Jackson was supposed to be an RB2. He probably is. Ryan Matthews is supposed to be an RB1. He's not. He's not even an RB3. So, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to play Steven Jackson. Felix Jones, I looked at the running back matchup for the Cowboys for the rest of the season. It's really, really rough. They have one of the hardest run schedules. So I think Murray or Jones, whoever it would be having trouble no matter what. So, I mean, that leaves me with hoping Sproles will be healthy and Jackson and trying to win off of improving my receiving core. And that means you got to ride it out with really the three guys you got. As I look to improve this, what am I looking for? I'm going to see if one of those guys who's starting to look pretty good, you know, like a Blackman had a big game, somebody like that can emerge. But that's really my only hope, is to find a wide receiver who's going to emerge that's and a guy who I can slot into this flex position who maybe gets hot down the stretch. I mean, I don't really know what I can do here.
So the question that I'll ask you then is, in this team, who are the guys then that you're kind of done with?
Titus Young is done. Rashad Jennings is done.
Yeah.
There's no reason to carry Rashad Jennings. I mean, and even, yeah, I'm not going to go with what's Perlman or what the hell's the other running back?
Parmalee.
That's it, Perlman. That's not even close. But Parmalee, I don't even know that he's much. I mean, he might, even he's a
Jackie Battle.
Yeah, he is. You have Hillman out there. He's the best pickup of the week because of McGahee's injury, but I really don't believe that he's going to do anything. So, I mean, it's like, okay, I'm just not looking to improve the wide receiver or the running back. Because of that, I have to hope that my wide receivers produce, and since Lloyd has been such a bust all year, at least Nelson is capable of big games. At least Johnson's had some. Lloyd's such a bust that the idea is to try and pick up an emerging wide receiver.
So is your thought, Jennings, even to release Brandon Lloyd?
I probably don't release him just because I don't have that much. But, I mean, I have three guys. I'm gonna drop Jennings. I'm going to drop Titus Young. I'm going to drop Joel Dreesen. And I'm going to pick up three wide receivers, young emerging wide receivers who've had good games over the last couple weeks.
And just try to ride the hot hand.
Rosario Alexander, yeah. Someone like that. Yeah, try and find somebody who emerges and it gets hot down the stretch as Kenny Britt did. All right, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, obviously it always comes down to what's available on the waiver wire, but there's no question that as running backs are rarely available on the waiver wire, you might as well, given the flex position, just, you've got to push towards one position.
Yeah.
And the waiver wire is going to dictate which position, but chances are good it's not going to be running backs.
That's what I figure, yeah. Okay, it's your turn. Who are you going to go with?
My turn. Wow, there's so many
pieces
choices.
Pieces of crap.
So many pieces of crap. Well, I am actually going to go with bad company. I'm going to take the least piece of crap here and just...
They were my second choice. I almost went with them. I'll tell you the reason I went with Born Silly is because when we put together in this league, and this is an auction league, we put together this team, we were laughing. We thought we had a steal of a team, and then everything's gone wrong. So I want to see if I can put it back together.
Yep. And I think in bad company, we are currently... where is the straight record without... doing math, we are 5-6, which is not horrible overall.
No.
But the difference is that we've won one game in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, that really is the difference. We were 4-1 at one point. I mean, and Lord knows, two big games, we can get back in because there's victory points in this league. But it doesn't seem likely. Why don't you just try and beat me instead?
Yes. Well, because the way this league works is, it is a keeper league. So there is elements of that to take into account.
Yes, there's definitely some people out there that are probably going to be available, like Kirkpatrick. That you got to look at, right?
Well, and it's also where we would get a hold of them because you lose the round to you lose the pick two rounds higher than you drafted them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to note when I'm going through this league if they're even worth keeping. Now, when I go through the quarterbacks, and I'm just going to use the quarterbacks to illustrate something. Currently, Joe Flacco, Ben Roethlisberger, and Michael Vick. So basically, there's only one healthy passer on the entire roster.
Yeah.
Now, but Michael Vick, the only reason that you would suggest to yourself that he's worth keeping on the roster, because normally I would say he's not worth keeping on the roster. He's not playing well. You can do better in two games.
Oh, for sure.
For the last
Absolutely.
Two games. So, but when I look at that, we have 1 year left on with him. But is he worth a ninth round pick next year? And to be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure he is.
I don't think he is. I'll say it straight up. I don't think there's any way this guy's worth a ninth round pick next year.
Yeah.
Not when I think you can get Andy Dalton in the ninth round next year. And there's no reason to think that's not going to be a better play.
Well, and the truth is that we're already going to be able to keep Joe Flacco next year
for a
14th round pick.
And since they're going to put up equal numbers, and in fact, Flacco has a better chance to be a starter.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think that I would keep Vic personally.
No, I mean, this team...
And if you put him on waivers and somebody picks him up as a keeper, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, exactly, because they still have to give up the ninth round for him as well. So, I mean... It's not great. This team has the bones to be special, but a lot of the players that are on this team are not producing, especially of late.
Mm-hmm.
So because Joe Flacco is up and down. I mean, this last game he gave us a whopping 6.2 points or something like that. So he was not a good player. But the week before he put a monster total of 37 points or something up. So. And Ben Roethlisberger, who knows if he's going to be... He's certainly probably not going to be back in time for this team this year. At running back, C.J. Spiller has the chance to be a super talent.
Yeah, and we can keep him next year for a 7.
For a 7,
so
which
that
I think
could be a steal.
Well, could be a steal.
I imagine he'll be drafted next year in the second or third round pretty consistently.
Yes. We have Ryan Matthews.
Probably second round, I imagine.
Ryan Matthews can't be kept. Steven Jackson can't be kept. Marcel Reese could be kept, but won't be because he won't have that big a role.
No.
Maurice Jones-Drew can't be kept. Rashad Jennings, I would never keep him.
No.
And Rashad Jennings can get turfed off the roster for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as far as running backs, I mean, the problem is that you're trusting that Marcel Reese is going to carry on playing well and will get the chance to play. And that C.J. Spiller will play well and not be in too much of a timeshare. And then you're dealing with Ryan Matthews and Steven Jackson, who are about the same.
Mm-hmm.
So the running backs, it's really a game of... You're not going to be able to find anybody better. It's a game of playing which two at the right moment.
Yeah, I think you're going to be playing Spiller pretty much. But who's the guy who you pick to go with him? I mean, that's what's really rough. Right now, Marcel Reese, just because he receives so well, looks really like the guy, but...
Well, in the last couple of games, he's put on, like, he's almost caught up to most of those running backs.
Exactly.
In points. The wide receivers, Victor Cruz, Jordy Nelson, Michael Crabtree, DeSean Jackson, and Tampa Bay's Mike Williams. There's some really good talent there again. Victor Cruz has been... one of the top receivers in the NFL.
Victor Cruz is still a top guy. Again, he's your slot. You slot in. You know him. And then after that, you're again making guesses.
Yeah, because Jordy Nelson is up and down. Michael Crabtree has almost as many points as Jordy Nelson. DeSean Jackson, similar. Mike Williams, very similar.
All these guys are within 10 points of each other.
Yeah, so it's that, again, you're not going to be able to replace somebody with better talent in there. It's really just, in this league, it's just a matter of playing the right matchups.
Well, again, and we know we're going to keep Victor Cruz next year because we have him for a 10.
Yeah.
So we pretty much know we're keeping Spiller for a 7 and Cruz for a 10. And then it comes down to Joe Flacco for a 14, Jordy Nelson for an 8, Crabtree for a 12, or Mike Williams for a 13. You know, before the season, it seemed like a no-brainer it was Jordy Nelson. The fact is that it's not a no-brainer that it's Jordy Nelson, the way that he's been inconsistent,
yeah,
and the way the Cobb has kind of taken his spot. So that means that the wild card here, the Chicago Bears, we can keep for an 11 next year. That's a steal because they've been so damn good. In fact, as we look at, like we say, this team has a lot of potential keepers.
Yeah. And, the Chicago Bears, they laid an egg versus the 49ers.
Okay, they laid an egg versus the 49ers. It's bound to happen. Fact is, they're going to end up as the highest scoring defense still. And you know what else? They're worth an 11.
Well, currently, we drafted Ryan Matthews in the first round.
Yeah.
Now, again, given that this is a keeper league, you draft players that you wouldn't normally want to draft in the first round.
Yeah.
But Ryan Matthews has 108.5 points. The Chicago Bears defense has 133 points.
Or
who's
even
more valuable?
Again, you have five players who have outscored him. That's Victor Cruz and C.J. Spiller and the three quarterbacks who, by the nature, are going to be in a high-scoring position. As far as who's been most valuable to the team, the only reason we're 5-6, they're the biggest reason, I'd say.
Yeah, they're absolutely one of the biggest reasons. Because as we move on to the tight ends in this league, we're talking Brandon Myers, who we picked up off the waivers, and we drafted and can't keep Antonio Gates.
Third round.
Not that you'd want to keep Antonio Gates, because we assumed that we were going to get a consistent tight end who was going to be a game, maintain that position so we wouldn't have to do anything else.
And we might have that in Brandon Myers.
We might, absolutely.
But not in. So what are you thinking? You're just thinking the point is on this team is you're not going to be able to really improve much, so you just got to be able to make the right picks. I do wonder if you might be able to find a quarterback out there who can step it up and challenge Flacco as your number one.
I hope to do that. I hope to be able to find a Fitzpatrick or something that over the last couple of weeks, if Flacco's got a great matchup, then I could start him. If somebody else has a great matchup, I'm basically looking completely at matchup-based quarterbacking in this case.
Okay.
But as far as the running backs and wide receivers, almost all of this is going to come down to best matchup that's actually on the roster.
And who do you think you're going to just thin the herd with? He's useless. You'd rather pick up a player with potential, a player who could be a keeper next year.
Well, to be frank, I see no reason to maintain Maurice Jones-Drew. I see no reason to maintain Rashad Jennings. There's almost no reason to maintain DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
He's a 6th, so, and you wouldn't want him for a 4.
No.
And it's the same way with Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
That's 4 players that if you can find replacements that are potential keepers for next year over those 4 players, I'd much rather have that.
Agreed. Okay, let's move on here. I guess we're going to do another rock, paper, scissors for this round. So to keep it fair. Otherwise, I'll always be ahead of yours. No, we're going to do it again. Here we go. On the count of 3. Rock, paper, scissors.
Oops. Why don't we flip a coin? It's going to be much easier than us.
Yeah, it is. But it doesn't have the potential for comedy gold that us screwing up.
Rock, paper, scissors 3 times.
You think 3 grown or 2 grown men at this age would have an idea how to play the damn game? Okay, I'll call heads.
Heads.
It fell.
That's fine.
Yeah, it sounded good on the radio.
And it is heads.
So I get to go again. All right, then. If I'm going to go ahead again. I'm going to stick with, I'll tell you the team I'm going to avoid, but I'm going to take the team over in Fuzzy's Fantasy Football, Straight Jacket Alcohol,
our poor team.
This team is the hard luck team of the year. We consistently, we're not top of the league in scoring, but we're nowhere near our record, which is a horrible 2-9.
This team has lost 7 in a row, which is so important to note.
But the thing is, we're a middle of the pack as far as scoring. We have been outscored almost 300 points more than any other team. There's 2 teams that are within 200 points of us, and then the rest are 300-400 points not scored against. This is a team that just the hard luck team of the year. So based on that, I'm going to take them because I think they're bound to have some fortune. Just something go right. It's just the law of averages. So that's why I'm going with Straitjacket Alcohol as my team here. Now, this team has Cam Newton, Christian Ponder, and Tim Tebow. So I'm going to replace two of those guys. because Christian Ponder has fallen completely off, and Tim Tebow is never going to hit the field.
Yeah. I mean, we drafted Tim Tebow in the last round, figuring, like a lot of people did, that eventually he was going to play. And
well, because we're like, well, Sanchez sucks, so he'll get a chance to play. Sanchez has done his part.
Yes.
He's sucked.
But Rex Ryan is so stubborn that he will never play Tim Tebow. I mean, Tim
Tebow. Why did you trade for him?
Tim Tebow has a grand total of 9.8 points in this league.
Yeah, so it's just not worth it. So I'm going to get rid of two of those guys, and I'm going to go with whoever's out there.
Whatever the hell.
Because it's just for something. Because I'm really not thinking I'm going to be playing Cam Newton. I mean, a lot of people have been going, okay, watch him be great down the stretch. I don't see it. I just don't see it.
You may be able to pick up Colin Kaepernick.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. You know, again, the running backs, I pretty much know who I'm going to play. So I don't have any depth here. So, I mean, it's like this is a team where, okay, I have Frank Gore, I have Steven Ridley. I'm going to play those two guys. They're not going to always give me great numbers. Certainly Ridley won't. It'll be up and down. Gore's pretty consistent. But I'm going to know I'm going to play those. I can play anywhere between two or three wide receivers. I could pick five between the two positions simply because I don't like the running backs unless I can get somebody who can emerge. This is an auction style format for the waivers. I will try and improve the running back position because here I can take a chance on somebody much more likely. I just go, what the hell? I can go with a Hillman and I can throw everything I have out there just because my receivers aren't lighting the world on fire either. Danny Amendola and Vincent Jackson are my starters every week, and I'm going to be sitting Larry Fitzgerald unless I can't get a running back that I think can put up better numbers. In fact, I would sit Fitzgerald for Sidney Rice at this point. Sidney Rice, though, again, has a horrible down the road. Really, the receivers have a really, really tough matchups for Seattle for the remaining game, a strength of schedule. So, I mean, it's just, again, I know who four of my five starters are. I got to come up with one. And that's my goal here. And Larry Fitzgerald, I don't think it's ever going to be him because who's throwing the ball for him now?
Ryan Lindley currently.
Oh, yeah, who's that?
Yeah, yeah. The guy who can't beat out Kevin Cobb and John Skelton.
Yeah, yeah. Bring back Max Hall. These guys are, their quarterbacking is, I think, World League teams had better quarterbacking. Cobb was, before injury, at least not terrible, but how bad is Skelton?
Skelton is horrible.
and this guy's no better, so it's really scary. On the bench, I'm going to be using Dwayne Allen, though Finley had some numbers this last game. I have the two of them. I'll just stick with Allen for consistency. I like my defense and my kickers. Bengals are a good matchup defense. Steelers have been a complete disappointment. But come on, they got Cleveland this weekend. I mean,
yeah, I mean, theoretically, that should be a good matchup for them. But the Bengals have
Oakland. They just don't
score
points.
So,
exactly.
I mean, you know,
the Steelers' problem is, in fantasy football, they don't score points. They're more of a bend, don't break, and don't give up a lot of points team in real life. They're not a... In fantasy football, they don't get the turnovers, the kick returns, the, defensive touchdowns. They don't score fantasy points. So they are a complete disappointment this year. I just play the matchups here. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to spend all my money. I take a chance on one guy, blow everything I have, get rid of a Rashad Jennings or a Kendall Hunter at this point, and just do everything I can. Kendall Hunter's actually outscored Rashad Jennings, which is unbelievable. Do everything I can to just try and receive one more guy who I could ride.
Well, I think the one thing that I note about this team, and because it's a deep bench, you do tend to handcuff yourself.
Yeah.
But one of the things, especially in these cases, is that in two cases, Maurice Jones-Drew and Frank Gore, we went into the season, and I know we got burned by this several times, where we drafted these guys much higher than we normally would.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been completely and utterly useless.
Well, especially Jones-Drew.
Yes.
More so than Gore. Gore's been fairly consistent.
Well, no. When I say, but it's been completely and utterly useless to draft their handcuffs.
Oh, they're handcuffs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry.
I mean, it wasn't useless to draft a handcuff for Jennings or for Jones Drew because Jennings started a bunch of games. It was useless because he's a piece of crap.
Yeah, because as far he's as not a good running back.
He's just not a good player. Like, I'm sure he's a nice enough human being. He's not good enough to be in the NFL.
Yeah. Kendall Hunter is a real talent who is good enough to be in the NFL.
Oh, Kendall Hunter is a real talent, but yeah, but Gore's not giving up that spot yet.
Yeah, and the problem being is that because we have these guys, you can't play them because they don't see the field enough.
So there's no potential to play them.
And so because we drafted them, I'm considering looking at next year and saying that I would rather draft a guy who's in a timeshare than even bother handcuffing because I would love to know the stats on handcuffs.
Or wide receivers. I'd rather draft a lot of wide receiver threes and end up having a guy who emerges like Alexander has in San Diego over the last couple of weeks because that gives you more potential than a guy who's just going to sit on their bench and handcuff and take up a spot.
Yeah, because guaranteed, even if he starts, then great, you could have something. But as Rashad Jennings proved, you also might have a piece of crap.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God. He's killed us.
He has.
All right. Who are you going with here?
All right. I am going to go with our other ESPN team. I'm going to go with the Long Box Graveyard.
Named after our good buddy, the Long Box Graveyard. Does a fine blog, comic book blog, and hosts a fine podcast once a month over at We Talk Podcast for us.
And I'm sure he would be excited to find out that we named a piece of crap team after him.
This was a team I wasn't as sure about. This was another ESPN 12 team league, but not an auction league. I never quite had the feeling that we had it together. But there's pieces here that, again, you just go, just hasn't turned out. And that's consistently what's happened.
Yeah, I mean, this team is 3-8, so they're actually worse than the Born Silly team.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, it looked like they were better.
Yeah.
So the quarterbacking is the unspectacular duo of Joe Flacco and Christian Ponder.
Yeah.
So
you can upgrade that.
I can totally upgrade that, yeah. I mean, Christian Ponder can absolutely go. He's just not worth the bench spot. The running backs, Matt Forte, Stephen Ridley, and Felix Jones. Wow. That's troublesome at best.
Well, it is.
If you can play Forte and Stephen Ridley out, then you're fine.
Yeah, then you have a running back, a high-end running back two and a low-end running back two that you're playing.
Yes. I mean, you're not going to get stud games from them probably,
no.
But as long as they don't get injured, then at least over the last 2 weeks, they're going to play.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The wide receivers, though, are much more, I have much more running or wide receivers here, but there's so many more questions.
It's just, again, Andre Johnson, we've been down on him. He has a game that's for the ages.
Yes.
You know what? You can't.
He's not going to have that game against Detroit. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen.
No, he's not.
Andre Johnson, Julio Jones, who has been, I think, I'm at this point nearing ready to put him on my bust players.
Well, yeah, because he's just gone down.
He's had some really good games, but the truth of the matter is, for where he was drafted and the expectations that everybody had for him, he is nearing bust.
For where he was drafted last year, he's put up the exact same essential level numbers.
Yes.
So again, were you last year, if you drafted him in round 7 or 8, you would have thought that's fine. But if you're drafting him, what, round 3, you know?
Yeah. And there were people who were expecting him to be perhaps even number 2, like in the top 2 of fantasy football wide receivers.
Yeah. And so he's definitely an issue here. And over the last 5 weeks, he's had 2 good games. But you know what? He's never had that crazy game that at least the Jordy Nelson's had. Or Andre Johnson had. He's never had that crazy game. That said, he has outscored Nelson.
Yeah.
Again.
Yes, Jordy Nelson, of course. Andre Roberts, who was a popular one for us for a bit. But again, now that you talk about Ryan Lidley throwing the ball for them, there he's useless.
Yeah, I think he's done. There is somebody on that bench, though, that is emerging
as
a really good player. So you really do have 3 receivers you can play. It's just unfortunately you're playing Jones, and can you do better?
Yeah. Titus Young is on the bench. He's gone. Cecil Shorts, though, is the receiver that you're talking about.
Yeah.
He appears to be nearing matchup proof.
Yeah, he's starting to be, and his quarterback play will improve there. He's somebody I liked in week one. I saw little things, and it took him a little while to get consistent, but he's been pretty consistent now, and he's a very nice player. He's going to be a nice player down the stretch. You know, I think Cecil Shorts definitely should be owned everywhere.
This team has three tight ends because nobody ever steps up to play. So it's got Dwayne Allen, who is up and down, but if Kobe Fleener comes back, then he's not really my type of player. Aaron Hernandez, who, yeah, you hope that he plays. And Anthony Fasano, who was the most ridiculously stupid pickup on the history of the earth.
Yeah, I think we played him two out of the last 3 weeks because he had, like, the best matchup. Because
he has, yeah, the just absolute this greatest matchups, and he can't put up a single point.
If you put up a donut when you have the best matchup, like, you're placing, like, the team giving up the 30th most points against tight ends. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of room to go for high knockout players here, or, you know, really just, yeah, home run guys here.
Yeah.
Whoever's out there.
I mean, the Cowboys' defense is matchup-based only, so...
I mean, you could go with a Henny here, and it wouldn't hurt you. Because you're still upgrading Christian Ponder.
Yeah.
You know?
And then Matt Bryant is the kicker. Basically, the way I look at this team is that almost the entire bench can be replaced completely. Yeah. And I would rather replace the entire bench completely and just go with a whole bunch of guys who've got really nice matchups over the next 2 weeks.
Agreed. And Fasano not being one of them.
Fasano's most definitely not one of them.
All right, let's. I'm gonna go. We're in the air. Flip that down. Heads. You caught it this time. Nice job. And it fails. What? Time. That sucks.
All right.
So that leaves me with the team I didn't want. So I'm gonna have the two-ton gorilla, and you're gonna have solitaire.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I actually considered. For a moment, I am considering taking the two-ton gorilla. If only because we might keep them next year, whereas Solitaire, we're not going to keep next year. They're not going to play. We're not going to play them as a keeper next year. But they are, again, in fact, you know what? I'm going to take the two-ton gorilla.
Oh, good. The two-ton gorilla are our worst team. That's right. We're looking at our team, the Long Box Graveyard. They're 3-8, but there's been a lot of games we've lost by 5 or 10 points. Again, we're like middle of the league in points scored, just with a lot of bad luck. Same as that team in Over and Fuzzy's Straight Jack and Alcohol. Two Ton Gorilla though haven't been close.
Nope.
They have. It's not, you know.
We are 1-10 in this league, and I don't know.
There was some weeks there where we were really close, where we're losing by 8 points, 4 points, 1 point.
1 point, yep.
But lately, the last 3 weeks here, it's gone to hell.
It's been generally ugly. Now, this team is generally awful.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's really little that you can see that to work with, and that's why I didn't want to have them. There's so little to work with here.
The main reason that I decided to do this was because I felt like it would be an interesting challenge because they're probably going to go 0-2 to finish. So I may not win simply because I drafted I took the two-ton gorilla. I may not win the bragging rights. But for me, it's can I take this and can I even gather enough potential keepers so that next year.
Yeah, you're playing this in a different way.
Yeah, there's three guys that are worth taking because the players are terrible. Now,
I'm looking to see if there's a keeper for next year right now on this team.
I don't think there is. The quarterbacks are currently Michael Vick, Sam Bradford, and Jake Locker. The only reason we have Sam Bradford is because last week with Jake Locker on bye and Michael Vick out, we actually didn't even have a healthy quarterback.
No.
We got at running back, we got Frank Gore, Marcel Reese, LaRod Stevens-Howling, Maurice Jones-Drew, Kendall Hunter, and Rashard Mendenhall.
Not a keeper among them.
Nope. And again, the problem being is that what you can tell when you get to names like Marcel Reese and Lerod Stevens-Howling is that there's been a whole lot of waiver wire action going on for us.
But you know what? At this point, you can play Gore, Reese, and, well, Howling, it depends again with Wells coming back, how much he's played well. So depends on how much Beanie eats into that. But, I mean, at least you have a couple guys who you can play now.
Yeah, and if Rashard Mendenhall gets the hot hand in a game, then he's potential.
Then he's potential. You have guys to play. You just don't have anybody for, if you're looking at it as a keeper, you got Butkus.
Yeah, and that, which is great, because you can just go ahead and get rid of everybody.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, like, you just start fresh.
There's nobody there. Michael Crabtree at receiver, Deshaun Jackson, Darius Heyward-Bey, and Hakeem Nicks. This is probably the biggest problem area, is because going into it, we thought Hakeem Nicks and Deshaun Jackson were locked down with those two guys.
As one and two, yeah.
As one and two. And Hakeem Nicks has been awful.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
And
you could say it. He's been out. How bad has Hakeem Nicks been this year? He's been outscored by Darius Heyward-Bey. And nobody's talking about Darius Heyward-Bey as being a player you should play.
Hakeem Nicks has been outscored by Martellus Bennett.
Yeah.
And Martellus Bennett and Scott Chandler are the tight ends. So they're both very similar, and I have no idea who the hell to play there.
No, and again, this, the reason I wanted to avoid these guys is because I didn't know how to rebuild them. Because, like I say, unlike some of the other teams where I go, okay, they're losing and they're not a good team, they have some building blocks, and I'm going to need to do one or two things. I go, I need to do one or ten things.
Oh, no. Again, this is a team
where maybe, like almost... I say, maybe the running backs, you know who you're going to start. But the rest of this, you're guessing.
Yeah, you're totally guessing
everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, Matt Bryant again at kicker, but the two defenses, Seattle and St. Louis. Seattle is a great matchup-based play, or great play, really. I mean, Seattle's a good...
They're a very good, solid defense, and they're tremendous at home.
So... I mean, Seattle should be okay, but I mean, this is really just, for me, this is an exercise in, can I acquire enough potential keepers to make this team worth keeping for us next year?
Again, when we look at this, we say we've lost, what, eight in a row? And when I look at it, really what's scary is...
It's nine in a row. But...
Nine in a row, yeah. When I look at this, what's really frightening is... One time we scored over 100 points, only twice actually, and 100 points is kind of, you know, 110 points in this league is a solid outing.
Yeah.
Only once have we scored over 100, and only once have we gone crazy, and when we scored over 100, we got 150.
And that was our win.
And that was our win, and that's week two, we get 150 points, we go crazy, and it probably inflated our expectations for the team.
I pretty much guarantee that it did, yeah. I mean, we got killed in the first week, but then we killed the next team. So you start out like that, and then it was close, it was not close.
Yeah.
And then it was 1 point that we lost by, 8 points that we lost by, you know, 15 points that you lose by, so it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But then by that point, you're still way down, and then those last few weeks, it's just like...
It gives you hope that your team is good enough to pull it out, but really, when you look at the roster, and we can't even tell you how many injuries this team had.
Oh, no.
I mean, the team is crazy.
The team has changed, almost half the team has changed up.
More than that, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, it's been extreme.
Yeah.
How many people have gone through.
Yeah, well, those are not two tight ends we drafted. Those are not, you know, that's one quarterback we drafted. That's, you know, two running backs we drafted. Crazy. All right, I'm going to go over to the Solitaire. Solitaire is one of those teams that, again, fine example. Last week, lost by 5 points. You know, 2 weeks ago, lost by six. Again, just, you know, we won by 2 points. We lost by five, again. You know, we lost by 1.5. Points at one point.
We lost by less than 10 in the first game. So, I mean, there's lots, and there is the potential, like me choosing Bad Company at the beginning, and I think the main reason that I kind of wanted to let you have Solitaire was the fact that if they do have, a slight chance of making the playoffs.
They have a slight chance of making the playoffs, but also, like I say, this is another hard luck team.
Yeah.
Not to whine too much, but this is just another team where you go, and this isn't even so much that we've been scored against more than anybody else. It's just that, you know, when you're losing by... If you have three games over the course of the year where you lost by 5 points, If you have, you know, two games where you lost by 2 points or less, like this team, this is just, it's pretty crazy. So let's go into the team and look at them a little bit more in depth here. The quarterbacks are Peyton Manning and Joe Flacco.
See, you got a quarterback, right?
I got a quarterback. That's one thing. My quarterback's done. LeSean McCoy, Frank Gore, Reggie Bush, Felix Jones, Lerod Stevens-Howling, Daryl Richardson, and Kendall Hunter. So we have a few guys there that's like, they're on the team because we're hoping that the guy ahead of them gets hurt and that they can put up the numbers.
I think the problem with those running backs, I'll say right now, is the fact that there's a lot of good talent there,
mm-hmm.
but there's a whole lot of I don't know who to play and when to play them.
Well, I think as a guy like LeSean McCoy is the high scoring guy, and yet he's trending down. So that means, do you continue to play him because he's your highest scoring guy, or do you sit him because he and his team is trending downwards?
Right, but Reggie Bush also trending way
downwards. So, I mean, Lerod Stevens-Howling has been trending up, and now Beanie Wells comes back and screws that up. So it's a very difficult one. And then you have Andre Johnson, who I think we might even have sat last game because I'd given up on him.
We didn't because of the matchup,
but the point was that there's, you know, I mean, Johnson, Wallace, Torrey Smith, Deshaun Jackson, Brandon Gibson, Leonard Hankerson. I'm going to try and pick up one or two guys who are potential keepers who can emerge. And there's same thing. I'm not going to drop Richardson. I'm going to drop Kendall Hunter because at a, you know, 11th round pick, and the fact that I know we're handcuffing Gore, but truthfully, I'd rather pick up a guy who could become something next year. So,
You can't keep Kendall Hunter for a 9.
You can't. It's ridiculous.
But you could but Daryl Richardson has a fantastic shot at being the next starting running back of the St. Louis Rams.
And he's kept for, what, a 14?
A 12.
A 12. Okay, so, and that would be worth it.
Totally worth it.
Well, Kendall Hunter is not going to be starting next year. Timeshare at best, and at a 9, that's not worth it. So, again, same thing. I'm going to get rid of Gibson and Hankerson, just look for the upside guys. And then defenses, again, matchup defenses, so I'm not worried about that. There is no tight end to play in this league. Connor Barth, I have no problem with him as a kicker because of how high scoring the Bucks have been in Tampa Bay there. So, again, this is a team where, as the players, I just got to make the right picks, and that's not easy. And then I'm going to look to drop a couple wide receivers and pick up keepers for next year. So Gibson and Hankerson are the two that, I mean, Gibson's not bad, but not good enough to play. He's one of those guys who's never good enough to drop and never good enough to play.
Yeah,
Hankerson
has
nothing going, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because when you look at Deshaun Jackson, who's a guy that you would rather typically want to avoid as well, he still has 24 more points than Brandon Gibson.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, this is a team where I kind of go, okay, Johnson, Wallace, and Smith are going to play. I'm going to be playing Gore and McCoy at running back and Manning. I'm going to play my best players. I'm going to play the guys who are drafted as my best players. I'm probably going to play them out. And they're probably not going to be good enough to get me in because they've been disappointing and they're trending down. But I'm going to go with my best talent here, and I'm not going to try and overthink it. And I'm just going to look for a couple guys so that I can, like I say, a couple guys who are potential keepers. Even though we're not going to probably keep this team, it's very unlikely. It's still what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you would still set it up for whoever would potentially take over. And and actually, given the fact that if you look, Peyton Manning for a 4 next year could actually be a viable pick.
Absolutely.
He's doing very well.
Absolutely.
When you talk about Daryl Richardson at a 12, if he is the starter next year, then he's a great keeper.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Torrey Smith for a 9.
Tremendous.
He's a good, solid keeper. So, I mean, there's 3 keepers right there that, you know, you don't have to work.
We don't have to work. Yeah, exactly. So that's one reason why that's something that makes this team, maybe we will keep it for another year. And that's at least the pieces there if we decide to.
I think the reason why we look at these teams and we say to ourselves that we don't really want to keep them is because the one thing you have to understand about Ant Sports, if you don't play it, is the waiver system is the most atrocious waiver system in fantasy football.
Yeah, it doesn't at all list players by points scored, so you literally have to go alphabetical looking for the guy you want. It's horrid that way. And then when mixed in with the alphabetical, if you're going in looking for Fitzpatrick this week and you see Brian Griese still there because the guy hasn't bothered getting rid of this guy's retired 5 years ago off the waiver wire list, and it's making this more cumbersome to go through, it is difficult.
Yeah, because to go into the quarterbacks...
Unless we buy it.
Yeah, to go into the quarterbacks, you're looking through 100 quarterback choices where there's really... There would be no more than...
There should be 20. No more. Yeah, exactly. That's a huge issue. So
yeah.
There's good and positives to this league. The keeper rules are great, and the victory points are great, but that's a huge issue. So, and we've been with them for many years.
Yes.
And we're not going to get rid of all the teams.
No, absolutely. It's
just, we got championships. And speaking of which, did I ever get my trophy?
No, I haven't. But
yeah, I'll grab that for you sometime. All right, that's right. Last year, championships. This year, in a rough year. We have some teams still in it. We have some teams, that are going to be exciting down the stretch. So these are the teams, though, like we say, thinning the herd that are out of it. So despite when you hear these poor records, we still have something we want to tell you. Number one, I'm Mo. Mo at We Talk Podcasts. M-O at We Talk Podcasts. Mo _ We Talk. M-O. On Twitter, at Mo. And Mo, that's, by the way, when I say Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com, should you care to email me. Hey, we just started a Facebook page. It sucks now, but we'll get it up and going. Get some stuff up there. What do you got to add?
Well, I think the one thing that I want to say is, as we transition out of this is really our first full year of doing this podcast. And I think as we start to transition into next season, there's some things, a lot of things that we learned, and a lot of things that we're going to start doing differently and kind of. You know, be a little more consistent in our podcasting.
I can't wait for next year because I want to redeem myself for myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And competitive. And this has been a last year was, like we say, coming into this last year, we would make the playoffs in 75% of our leagues and win the championship in 40% of them. Last year, we made the playoffs in 50% and won the championship in 25%. And we're not looking at doing that well this year. And that's pissing me off. But redemption is coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Next year, I think it's going to be a fantastic year.
We're going to learn from this, for sure.
For me, I'm Brett, B-R-E-T-T _ WeTalk on the Twitter. I am Brett at WeTalkPodcast.com.
Two T's.
Two T's, that's right. Anything else you got? Or you want me to finish off?
Well, I say, you know what? We're talking about redemption. I'm not sure if it's this podcast, the one at the end of the year, or the first one next year. We're going to be playing Redemption Song by Bob Marley, though, at some point, because, you know, it fits. Other than that, what do you got to say?
We'll see you. And we'll beat you.